Rabbi Peres, really a pleasure to welcome you. I don't see I'll make you co-host in a moment, but really, Rabbi Peres is the executive chairman of the Mizrahi World Movement, and we pray, I'm sure many of you know, his son is a hostage in Gaza, and we pray to hear good things, and he made a wedding. His son, his other son, was injured and got married, of course, the week after the war. So Rabbi Peres, Bakasha, hope in the face of despair.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Good. Thank you. So firstly, just really apologies. I was supposed to speak in the beginning to open things for a few minutes, but I had a change in our timetable. And thank you for understanding and just, you know, speaking now. So I'll just speak briefly as the time allotted for 12 to 15 minutes, just in some opening words about this really, really important conference and discussion. So firstly, to my friend, Rabbi Jay and Ilana Kelman, Yishar Koach, for all the Torah in motion and always bringing such relevant and important perspectives, Torah perspectives on very important, timely topics and experiences facing the Jewish people. And I think this, of course, all the discussions and all the professionals presenting here is really critical at a time of unprecedented trauma for the Jewish people since the Shoah. I don't think we've had such a traumatic time as a people, arguably since the Shoah. Also, our friends, Marsha and Michael Lex, our mutual friends who I see are the patrons and sponsors of this very important conference on mental health and therapies and dealing with all the challenges that have come out of this, you know, this trauma. So really a few things. I think, as mentioned, we know that this day and the aftermath, but starting with the day of October 7th, Simchat Torah, Shabbat, is the most traumatic day in Jewish history since the Shoah. And, you know, one thing that, that really has, you know, I was listening to many commentators about the following point. The fact that so many people were, Rachmana Litzlan, not only killed, 1,200 people killed on that day, 300 soldiers, including 80 officers, so many injured, 900 civilians in the horrific way that many of them were killed, over 240 hostages, as we know, of all ages and all backgrounds, Jewish and non-Jewish, and of all ages, from the then 9-month-old Kfir Bibas baby till people almost 90 years old. And today, as we speak, still 136 hostages, including, unfortunately, our son, Daniel. So not only death and destruction, not only so many wounded, not only hostages of all ages and backgrounds. Also, as we know, a result of that have been over 20,000 civilians have had to be relocated from the south and over 100,000 in the north, which means the result of that day has been 120,000 people, which affects, you know, so many people who are exiled so from their homes as refugees in their own homes in our own country. But also the one thing which really was just so difficult to fathom is the amount of torture, rape, burning that took place that day. So many people were burnt on that day. And, you know, if the aim of Hamas was to, Rahman Islam, kill as many people as possible and take as many hostages as possible, it doesn't make sense the amount of systematic burning that took place on that day. And I was listening to a few, and I know that it's in many discussions we've been in as hostage families, we know that this is something that was premeditated. And why would the you know, the satanic people who sort of pre-planned such horrific things, why was there so much burning? And I did hear some commentators say, because the aim was to remind us of the Shoah. You think Jews can't be burnt anymore, Rachman Litzlan? You think we can't, Rachman Litzlan, put children in ovens? You think we can't burn, you know, both of our sons, Yonatan and Daniel, both fought in and around a base called Nachal Oz, the base called Nachal Oz, which is close to the kibbutz Nachal Oz. The last soldiers to be identified of those missing were the those who were in the Chamal, the war room of Nachal Oz. My son was one of the first soldiers to go in there and see what had been done there. And many, many soldiers were unfortunately mainly female soldiers, but were burnt in this particular room. But they were also gassed. In this particular room, they were gassed and burnt. And their ashes were amongst the last to be identified. What is going on here? It seems that the aim of these, our horrific enemy of Hamas was to traumatize as much as possible, not only quantitatively to have the worst day in Jewish history since the Shoah, but also the manner, the torture, the way it was done to traumatize, that we now need conferences and we're probably going to have this for weeks, months and years to come of dealing with the trauma and the post-trauma of not to mention the fact that we've had hundreds of thousands of soldiers fighting and continue to fight. So there's this is going to take, as we know, a long time, weeks, months and years to recover from. Please God, to return all of the hostages and to remove the threat of this evil threat from our doorstep, that there should be no future danger to our to Jews going forward. Not to mention, of course, all of the anti-Semitism that is brought out around the world. But I think, to me, the thought that I'd like to share with you is the following. I think one of our challenges we have in life in general, and as Jews in particular, is somehow living with pain, with challenge, with difficulty, with darkness, along with exuberance, joy, and light. I think for me, the biggest learning that I've had from this, having to have our son, Yonatan, who was injured on the day, shot through the leg, got married 10 days later, while his brother, then Daniel, was missing in action, later presumed taken hostage, and today almost, what's it, 127 days, a hostage, is the first thing we had to try and contend with, not the first thing, but one of the main things was, how do you have a wedding with one son that we know with every fibre in our being could have been killed on that day? And only by the grace of God, he was saved. He fought in six different places over 6 hours until he was shot through the thigh in Nachal Oz at quarter to three in the afternoon, having been in Sderot since 9 in the morning. And we know that Rahman Litzlan Yonatan, he's an officer in the paratroopers, God forbid, could have been killed and injured, as many of his friends were. 25 officers of his rank were killed on that day. And as I said, 80 officers were killed on that day. So how do you hold, on the one hand, so much joy and appreciation for the fact that Yonatan was saved, so much blessing, while at the same time you have another son, Daniel, who unfortunately was injured also on the day and taken captive? It's a blessing and a curse together. And when you have to have a wedding like this, it's not only a blessing and a curse, it's so much joy and pain. And it's so much, holding totally contradictory feelings together. But for me, the biggest experiential learning that I've had, and there are so many things that I've learned from this this very painful experience, is the first one is to be able to function and cope while holding so much pain, angst, anxiety, concern over the present and what your son is going through in the present, and what we are facing in the future, with the tremendous simcha and joy of the blessings that we have, not only of all of our children, other blessings, but the fact that Yonatan could have been killed. I have a friend, unfortunately, Rav Shmuel Slotky, who two of his sons were killed on the first day. And there are families which have been wiped out, and there are families which have had families, either, you know, of every type of death and torture and hostage and all types of horrific things. So the fact that we know that we had such blessing and such salvation with so much curse and so much concern. So what I did see and have learned specifically in those 2-3 hours of the wedding, chuppah and the wedding, and now over the last 127 days, is that we do have the koach to hold these together. And I think human beings, for me, the biggest learning is I think we as human beings are much, much more resilient than we think we are. I think often the experience is worse than the fear of the experience. You know, sometimes looking into a particular harrowing experience seems it's impossible to handle. Yet I do find that human experiences seem from the outside impossible, but when you're inside it is possible. I think Hashem gives us impossible nisyonot, but then gives us impossible kochot to deal with them. And I think it's part of the DNA, not only of the human condition, where we are a lot more resilient and stronger than we think we are, but I think it's also part of the DNA of the Jewish people. No nation has faced over so long a period of time the horrific truism, which is mentioned in the Haggadah, which we perhaps forgot or perhaps didn't quite have the veracity for our generation, which has been one of the most privileged generations in Jewish history, when it says, Shebechol dor vador, umdim aleinu lechaloteinu. Somehow we thought maybe we passed that. And yes, Iran, but you know, we've sort of got it covered. We dealt with the nuclear act in Iraq and Iraq and in Syria. And yeah, but we've got it covered. We've got a state of Israel. And on that day, all of a sudden, the realization that this country and culture dedicated to the single-minded decimation of the Jewish people, Iran and its proxies, the three chets, you know, Hamas, Hezbollah, Houthim, this ring of terror around Israel, and it's only by the grace of God and the tenacity and the quick response of soldiers and civilians alike on that day, which stopped that invasion from being so much worse than it was, not to mention the Ashgacha that Hezbollah didn't attack us. The Radwan force of Hezbollah are much better armed, more numerous, and better trained than those of the Nukba of Hamas. And just by the grace of God, we didn't have attack from the north as well. God knows how that would have ended. But I think for me, the salient learning is, and perhaps in therapy as well, that it's possible somehow to hold and live with an ongoing challenge. Yes, we hope to resolve particular traumas, but sometimes people have mental conditions or emotional issues which accompany them through their whole life. And it's the scourge, and it's something which causes them a lot of angst. But I think for me, the learning is you can live with it. You can live alongside it. Maybe part of who you are. There is challenge, there is curse, there is difficulty, there's darkness, but there's also light and there's joy. And it's possible somehow to live with both these together. And I want to end and say that I think this is ultimately the message that Chazal wanted to give us in the Haggadah. To fulfill the mitzvah of Igadat HaBayomahu, when Chazal wanted to give us a message of what is the message of Jewish history, what is the story of Jewish history, what is the narrative that we tell our children of the birth of the Jewish people. And we tell our children this. We tell them, you must know that life is full of pain and difficulty. It is full of darkness. Avadim hayinu leparo b'Mitzrayim. It was, if you don't tell them of the pain and the suffering, then there's no story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. If you don't tell our children about the bitterness of the maror, if you don't eat the bitter herbs, then you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. Matchil b'gnut, we tell our parents, we tell our children that there's gnut in life, there's pain, there's difficulty, there's challenge, there's darkness. We tell our children the most horrific reality that we've experienced in our generation. It wasn't a one-off. Somehow the lot of the Jewish people is this ongoing potential trauma of somebody who's trying to, God forbid, decimate. But what do we also tell our children? Avadim Mitzrayim, but we came out of there. It's part of the story, but it's not the story. Matchil begnut. Yes, there's the good things come afterwards. There is darkness, but there's light. There's challenge, but there's salvation. We tell our children to eat the maror, but we tell them also to eat the matzah. And most importantly, we eat the korban pesach. Ein maftir nachar pesach atikoman, the ta'am. It stays with you at the end of the Seder night. What's the ta'am? It's not the bitterness of the maror. It's not even the blandness of the matzah. It's the taste of the Korban Pesach, which we don't have today. So we eat the matzah. But the ta'am of Judaism, the ta'am of Jewish life is a good taste, the ta'am of life, the ta'am of celebration. We tell our children, yes, Shebechol dor vador umdim aleinu chaloteinu, but vehi she'amda. And the promise of Baruch Shomer HaVtachatol Yisrael Baruch Hu, that Hashem has promised us that he will fulfill his promise to redeem us. And although we say Kadosh Baruch Hu Matzeinu Miyadam, that there is salvation. And Bezrat Hashem, with all the pain and challenge that we are facing, which is pain and challenge that no human being should have to face, and no children should have to be now dealing with, you know, what it means to have been, God forbid, a hostage. And so many people and families are dealing with things that are, we never thought we'd have to deal with. But I think for me, in conclusion, being part of the human condition is that we are a lot stronger than we think we are. And all these therapies and, you know, holy professionals are here to bring out within the human spirit, the nefesh and neshama, the incredible coping mechanisms and resilience that we have in the face of impossible challenges. We have impossible kohot. And secondly, and finally, to be part of the Jewish people, of all peoples, means to be part of a historic community which has faced these challenges and darkness and exiles more than any other people, and has never enshrined victimhood, has always prevailed, has always told our children that in the darkness there is light, in the servitude there is salvation. And with the bitterness that we carry with us, and with the bitter knowledge that in every generation there are those who continue to threaten us, we're able to live with this, not be traumatized by it, give it its place, honor it, respect it, deal with it, embrace it, work through therapies with it, but it can be lived with, it can be accepted, it can even be embraced. And Bezrat Hashem, if I can just make an appeal, if you could please, please daven for our son, Daniel Shimon Ben Sharon, Daniel Shimon Ben Sharon. Daniel, a friend of mine, said was he got out of the lion's den, and Sharon and Shimon was the brother of Joseph, put in prison as well, and also got out. And please, God, our Daniel Shimon Ben Sharon, with all of the hostages, should come out with good health soon. As we speak, the deals are being spoken about. We hope and pray that every one of them, all 136, will come out. Those who are alive, Bari Begufam Benafsham. Those who are not, they should have a burial, Bekever Yisrael. And please, God, all those who need trauma assistance and counseling, and there are so many, should get the assistance from the holy professionals who deal with it and able to somehow overcome and live with all the impossible challenges that we are facing as individuals and as a people. And Yisro Koch, Rav Jay, and Ani B'sorot Tovot.
Thank you. Really very powerful and moving. And amen, we should pray for your son and all the hostages and all of Klal Yisrael. And really thank you for your strength to speak and to your encouragement. And we look forward to celebrating with you on happy occasions. And
amen. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.